Well, since it seems to be the mind of the Lord today, the way he was that incredible. But those of you that were at the 8:30 and the 10 o'clock,
man.
I mean, only God can do that. Now, I'm not kidding you. Alan and I did not talk. I mean, that's just the hand of the Lord. Plus, the night before, we were visiting with somebody who was discussing with me, and I'm going, I've got to tell you right now ahead of time that when you hear the message tomorrow, I already know what the message is, and your conversation has nothing to do with that. Otherwise, that person would think that I tailored the message for what they were telling me the night before, and it had nothing to do with it. I already knew what he was. Isn't that amazing? But now, since it seemed to be the mind of the Lord today to be talking about who God really is and how do you get prayer answered, let's look again at Luke 11. And you can put another mark in Mark. Mark 11. Luke 11 and Mark 11. Another mark in Mark. You can be a Christian for a long time and learn a lot of things. And there seems to be seasons, you know. I mean, I remember the time, the early days when Sue and I were learning the foundational principles of what we call the Word of Faith. I thank God for that. Now, even though a lot of people have taken that message and perverted it to their own use, and there's a lot of things being taught today under the banner of the Word of Faith that Kenneth Hagin would never put his seal of approval on. I'm telling you right now, there's just lots of greed and lots of stuff. But I'll tell you that you're not going to change the Word of God. Mark 11, 22, 23, 24 is in there forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will never pass away. So how did Alan do that? Keep one finger in Luke 11, put the other finger in. Let's go to Mark 11 first. Because that's the foundation for all petitional prayer is never going to change. It's Mark 11, 24. It says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. I mean, there's whole courses, and there needs to be whole courses taught based on that verse. Because you just read it real quick and say, well, okay, I understand that. Well, that verse means a whole lot to me. That verse probably right there is the reason I'm alive to preach to you, and that I didn't die in 1980. That Sue and I came in agreement and prayed a certain prayer when they had diagnosed me, given me a death sentence of cancer. And if it had not been for Mark 11, 23 and 24, I probably wouldn't be here today. And that was before we ever heard, we'd ever graced the door of this place. We didn't know anything about praying in tongues or Dave Roberson. We had seen Dave in one service back about 1980 or 81 when he was out of Grace visiting there. But other than that, we didn't know anything about this message. It was the Word of Faith that kept me alive. So thank God for Mark 11, 23 and 24. And you need to, and this is the foundation for what we would call petitional prayer. But now when he says right there, believe that you receive them, that has a whole lot to do with the revelation over in Luke 11. So with your second finger, I like how Alan did that. With your second finger, go over to Luke 11 now for a minute. See, because if you think God is like this person portrayed here, that he's the guy behind the door, I guess we better read it first. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Well, here we have the Lord's Prayer. You know, people pray that around the world every day. It's on plaques, it's on keychains, they have it in their offices. They'll say it and not get a prayer answered one. Okay? It's not the formula, it's not the words. It is the relationship and it is the faith with the words that gets action from heaven. Okay? So let's read it though. He said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as in heaven, so in earth. Excuse me. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. Let's just stop for a minute. Okay. I don't really want you to raise your hands. Not very many Christians I know pray every day, Father, today give me what I need. Now, come on. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. You're okay. Because I forget it too. I don't pray like that every day. But Jesus says you need to have that relationship with the Lord and understand He's your provider every day. It is that if he provides for you every day, and of course that directly goes back to the manna series, when there was, when you talk about an economic crisis, we ain't seen no economic crisis like they had out in the wilderness. You can't plant any crops. If you do find a little piece of ground that might grow something, you plant it on Tuesday, the cloud moves on Wednesday, there's no, you know, I mean, it's impossible. You talk about it. See, now, Sue and I, you want to say, oh, this is the worst financial, whatever, what do they call it, crisis since the Great Depression. We had our Great Depression in 1995. We had a total economic collapse because the Lord took away by, you know, he was his call for our life, every means of financial support, both secular and what you'd call normal ministry type income. We weren't pastoring a church, so there was absolutely no tithe. We weren't able to. He didn't allow us to sell anything like cassettes or anything like that. He didn't allow me to have a secular job anymore. I did just like Alan. I begged him, come on, let me have a job. Sue offered to go get a job. I said, if you get a job, I'm going to get a job. I'm not going to be one of these preachers that stays home and pray while his wife goes and works now. That's just not going to happen. And so, but the Lord, he was teaching us. He was teaching us, you know, and he says, no, you've got to learn. Alan said it exactly right. You've got to learn to trust me. You've got to learn like they had to learn in the wilderness. Well, Jesus says, my attitude would be, Father, I'm praying. I'm asking you. You know, we could go to Matthew 6. Don't go there, but another one we could go to. He says, you know, your heavenly Father knows what you have need of before you what? You still, he's looking for you to ask him, not because he's stingy or he, you know, he wants that relationship. He wants you to learn to trust him day by day. Then you can pray like David. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil. You're with me. Why would I fear? You knew, you made manna once, you can make it again. Economic collapse. So I've been in a total economic collapse since 1995. I know what it is to pray every day. You know, I mean, for years, especially those first years, money was staying away in such great abundance. I mean, financially, it looked like, okay, we didn't die today. Surely we will die tomorrow. I mean, that's the way it looked. And so I know what it is that, Lord, you finished yesterday. I don't know how in the world. We have nothing. How in the world are you going to do it today? But day by day by day. But see then, the real test comes when prosperity begins to manifest a little bit. He told me one time, don't ask me how long ago this was, I'm not going to tell you. He says, you failed the prosperity test 3 times. I said, what? Yeah, you failed it 3 times. Failed the prosperity test? There's a test? How many knew there was a test? He said, well, 3 times when I've... He says, when things are bad, you know, your prayer life is real good. When a little money manifests and just, you know, you just got your nostrils just above water and everything's paid and ha, there's a little money left over, and he says, what happens to your prayer life? Lord, can we talk about something else? I don't want to talk about that anymore. See, and that's what Dave has been teaching us for years. He said, adversity is not your greatest enemy, prosperity. Because, you know, adversity, your flesh is joining right, your flesh will join right in with you. Yeah, we need to go pray. Because in adversity, your flesh even wants out of that. But see, good times, prosperity, your flesh wants in. So, oh, let us take our ease, you know. We don't need to pray today. Everything's good. Well, getting back to this. Jesus says, give us day by day our daily bread. Gary, did you pray that today? No, I forgot. Till I started teaching. He wants that relationship. Okay, let's put it this way. If you had $50 billion in the bank today, that's just for starters. There's going to be stewards of God that for them that'll be chump change. $50 billion. Well, I mean, you see what they're doing? They're slinging billions around like pizza in a pizza joint. You know, just slinging it like everything. You know, $50 billion. Come on, God's going to have stewards in the earth that daily operate in trillions. Okay. He said, I don't care if you got $50 billion in the bank today. I want you to talk to me about your needs. I want to be your, I'm your provider when you got $50 billion in the bank. I'm still your provider. I'm still your source. Yeah. I don't want to keep failing that test. He wants that fellowship, whether we're walking, believing Him for your next biscuit, or whether you got $50 billion or $50 trillion in the bank and wanting to know what He wants you to do with it. It's good stuff. Hallelujah. Well, He says, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. There it is. I mean, it's on plaques, it's on walls, it hangs everywhere. And it is the core. I mean, how it starts off, our Father. That's the whole. Jesus came. One of the primary reasons is to deliver man from being fathered by Adam so they could be fathered by Himself, the second man, the last Adam, but make God, to make His Father our Father. Okay? But even at, then He wants us to grow up to where, what, see, right now, Cole Matthews, for those of, most of you know, Cole Matthews, my 5-year-old grandson, you know, he's more interested right now in his kingdom than he is God's kingdom. You know, I want to talk about my Batman toys. Papa, I don't want to talk to you right now about witnessing. I want to talk to you about my Batman cape. There's got a tear in it. We got to get it fixed, Papa. Well, when you're a child, you think I'm upset with that? I'm not upset with that at all. That's fine. But what He's trying to get us to do is mature like He was. I mean, Jesus is the Son who served. He is absolutely the Son with all authority and all dominion and might, anointed by the Holy Ghost. But where was His mind? I must be about my Father's business. That's what He's trying to have, you know, grow us up into that mentality. I told you this morning about the two lists. The first list I ever made based on petitional prayer was all about my needs and my Batman cape, basically. You know, my red Ram pickup I wanted and all of that stuff. But just a little bit of praying just 6 months down the road, which really is not very long. And already, He was transforming my heart's desires, the things that were first on my thoughts about the Father's kingdom. So-and-so needs to be saved. Somebody needs to be healed. I need to be delivered of this habit I've got. So on and on and on. Okay. Thy kingdom come. It's a maturing process. But then He starts giving this analogy. And boy, the way Alan did, if you didn't hear Alan's message, now just get it. I'm not going to try and reteach that. What's happening now, Luke's account. Okay, you still got your finger over in. No, we didn't go. Go to Matthew 6. Well, it's just so good. I've never seen it stated as well as He stated it. I've known for years that this was what He's talking about, but I've just never seen it stated as well as this, as Alan did today. It makes me think Alan prays or something. And assimilates the word. Maybe he's actually doing the message, you know? Wouldn't that be novel? But anyway. Hey, you didn't come here for me to be nice to you. Come on. See, Matthew 6, he goes right through the Lord's Prayer. He hadn't quite got to it yet. But he's leading up to it. And he says, verse 6, But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But now notice, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think they'll be heard for their much speaking. All right, now, so what does that mean? If you can get the picture, it's like they're asking God for something. He didn't answer. They didn't get their answer, so they're going to ask Him again. And they're going to do it again. And they're going to do it again. And they're going to do it again. And they're going to keep on until they get their answer. And He gave the example in the Old Testament of the prophets of Baal. And all day long, they just kept calling on God, their God, Baal. And they even wound up cutting their arms and doing everything, you know. And Elijah he mocked them, you know. Well, maybe he's going on a trip, you know. Maybe he's asleep. And the God who answers by fire is God. So he called down from the real God, and God answered, you know. But see, really, Matthew, when he says these heathen, they think they'll be heard for their much speaking. Now come right back over to Luke 11. Luke's account is just expounding on that statement. He is just expounding on that. And the way the Holy Ghost got it across to me years ago, when I was reading this, he said, now, Gary, do you have any friends like this? So let's look at this friend here, quote, friend. Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, oh, trouble me not. It's too late. The door is now shut. My children are here with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. You see, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Now see, that's a picture of the heathen who think they're going to be heard for their much speaking. All right, he won't give it to me because he's my friend. He won't give it to me because I need it. The only way I can get him to give it to me is I got to wear him out. And what scares me, do you know how many church services I've sat in where they have used this and told you that's how you get your prayer answered? And the truth of the matter is, he's trying to tell them, look, if you think that's what God's like, that's the reason your prayers haven't been getting answered. Now go back to Mark. When you pray, believe you receive when you pray. You can't believe that if you think God is this guy sitting behind the door and he's not even hearing you. And so how you go? Well, okay, I didn't get the manifestation, so I got to go back and do it again. That's the opposite of Mark 11:24. Mark 11:24 says he heard me. I believe I receive when I pray. I don't have to ask him again. He's not deaf. I've already received it. I shall have it. But if you think he's this guy and you keep going back, well, how do you know he didn't answer your prayer? I don't see it, Brother Gary. I don't see my healing. I don't see my red Dodge. I don't see my bicycle. I don't see the answer to, I don't see my kids straightening up. I don't see the answer to my prayer. So that's the opposite of faith. That's walking by sight. See? And he's trying to tell them, you guys want your prayers answered like I get my prayers answered? You can't believe God's like that. Because there's no faith in that kind of prayer. You'll just stand out there and keep speaking like the heathen do. You'll be going all day. You can start cutting yourselves with, like the prophets of Baal, you can do caterwaul, sling snot for an hour, still won't get your prayer answered. You know? What causes the prayer to get answered? He told us in Mark 11:24, believe you receive when you pray. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now we are talking about petitional prayer, and I think I better throw this in real quick. We're talking about the kind of prayer where it's basically you and God, where no other human is really involved. People have their own will. And one thing you do not have dominion over is another person's free will. Okay? You can encourage them, you can exhort them, you can intercede for them, you can pray with them, you can agree with them, you can do a lot of things. But you cannot exercise dominion over their free will because God himself won't do that. Amen. If he was ever going to do that, he would have done it. He would have stopped Adam on his way to the tree. Hallelujah. So just know that is not going to happen. People that try and make that happen, we do have a name for that. It's called witchcraft. Okay? And there's a lot of Christian witchcraft goes on. All right? But you don't have dominion over another person. You have dominion over devils. You have dominion over cancer. You have dominion over sickness. You have dominion over finances. But what we're really talking about right now is the prayer, the petitional type prayer, the prayer of faith, where you ask God for something and you believe you receive when you pray. You thank Him for it until you see it with your eyes. Hallelujah. Gary, how long do I do that? I always say 10,000 years. Because if you'll do that, you'll be okay. It won't take that long. All right, I got to go on. I can talk right there, but I better not. Now, see, what scares me is I've been schooled by religion to do that very thing. There's whole books out there. Whole books. And there's on Christian TV. I'm warning you again about Christian. You better pray in tongues if you're going to watch Christian TV, and you better be obedient. My suggestion is turn it off till Dave gets on. I hate to be that way. And it's not, well, Gary, do you think it's all wrong? No, I think it's probably 95% right. It's that 5% strychnine that's going to kill you. It doesn't take very much of it to kill you. Yeah, I think a lot of it's right. You know, they say, well, just eat the hay and spit out the sticks. That only works if you know what the sticks are. See, I didn't know what the sticks was. Me too. You just have to chew a little harder on the sticks. They go down. Anyway. It took the Holy Ghost thousands and thousands and thousands of hours. I just hate to say it that way. I said thousands, not hundreds. I said thousands, not dozens. I said thousands. Did you hear me? Say it out. Look to somebody. Say thousands. Thousands of hours praying in other tongues to get those sticks back out of me. I didn't even know what the sticks were. And you greatly assist him if you'll learn how to meditate the Word of God, learn how to assimilate. Don't you love how Luke 11 now and Mark and Matthew 6, how the two complement one another? You know, that's what he's talking about. Don't be like these heathen that think God is some stingy, miserly person behind the door that doesn't want to answer your prayer. Jesus said, you think I pray thinking he's that way? No, he says, and I say unto you. Now notice verse 9. And notice how he switches now. Verse 8, he says, friend, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend. But now notice starting in verse 9, coming on down through verse 11, he switches from friendship to family. And I say, starting in verse 9, I say unto you, ask. See, this guy standing outside the door, he's not receiving, is he? So he keeps banging on the door, banging on the door, banging on the door. Jesus says, don't be like that guy. I'm telling you, if you want your prayers answered, you've got to have some faith in who your Father is. You ask, I'm telling you, you will receive. Can you see what he's saying? He's drawing the contrast there. I say unto you, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now, I've heard, again, religion come. Here comes, you got to watch footnote theology, I'm telling you right now. Well, Brother Gary, in the Greek, that is in the continuous perceptive participle unknown to the whatever. And I say, they'll say, that means you got to continually. Not about the same thing. Cole doesn't come to me. Papa, would you get me a bicycle? Yes. You need a bicycle? What kind you want? Blue one? Okay. I'll get you one. When you going to get it? Pretty soon. Do you believe me? Yeah. Goes off telling mom and dad, Papa's going to get me a bicycle. Now I think really something's wrong with Cole. If an hour later, come tugging on my shirt, Papa, what? You going to get me a bicycle? Didn't I tell you? You know, you just asked me now. Yeah, I'm going to get you a bicycle. Oh, good. Goes off telling him, what color you want? Blue. Goes around. What? Another hour. Papa. 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 I go, boy, what's wrong with you? Don't you think I heard you the first time? The bicycle's coming, boy. I didn't forget. I heard you the first time. He's not talking about keep coming, Papa, Papa, about the same thing over and over. That's what they tell you it is. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep. Not about the same thing. Well, he said, this is a life of faith. You're going to live this way all the rest of your life. I'll tell you what. I've done it myself and I've counseled others. You can get into seasons of condemnation like I was telling you all about the cell phone, and you can go for months or years and not even do any petitional prayer at all. You start basically trying to live life on your own again, and he'll let you. He will. He'll let you go as long as you want. But I'm telling you, that's not what he wants. He wants to walk with you and talk with you. He wants to hear your prayers, and he wants a chance to answer your prayers. That's what he's after. I like how Dave says, you know, he says, the gospel entrepreneur that really does it right and makes the millions and billions and puts it into the kingdom, he says, you know, really what God, you know, God had millions and billions before all that. The thing that God got out of it, what he enjoyed was the fellowship. The fellowship between that son of his, that child of daughter of his, that interaction that they had together while the millions were being made and while the millions were being distributed. That's what God got out of it. That fellowship. But he doesn't want us living a life without him. When he says, those footnotes there, when it says, ask and keep on asking, see, what he means is this is a way of life. He's not saying keep asking about the same thing. That's the way the heathen do it. Anyway. Hallelujah. He says, for everyone that asks receives, he that seeks findeth, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Now here it goes. If a who? Now notice in verse 8 up there he said friend. But see, now he's bringing them into the real relationship that God is after. He says, look, if that's the way it is with friends, you know, if a friend will give you what you need, a real friend, How much more will a father give to his son? I told you all that. I'm going to tell you again. It's good for you. That deal about Lily? Walking around. Now, here's little... You saw her. Just Lily. Just toddling around the house, you know. I mean, she didn't have to do nothing but toddle, and it pleases me. You know, you could learn something there about your father. But anyway... I wasn't pointing at anyone in particular. But if we just meditate on that a little while... I can just sit there for a long time and just be entertained, just watching her toddle. Uh-huh. What's she doing now? What's got her attention? Oh my! But anyway, that day she was just toddling around the house and had that banana, had it peeled halfway down, and she was just toddling around with that little banana. And just, you know, she loves bananas. She's eating that banana. She walks by Papa's chair, and I'm just sitting in my chair. She's got that banana. She looks at me, looks at that banana, looks back at me, and goes. Just. Free will offering, absolutely no ulterior motive, except I am really enjoying this banana. Would you like to share it with me? Are you kidding? At that moment, do you want a pony? Do you? Everything I have belongs to you. This is what God is after. He's not interested in no religion. He's interested in a family, and He wants to walk with us. He wants to watch you toddle. What's got Fred's attention today? Let's see. What's he toddling around there? Huh? Well, he's interested in the knobs on the TV. Now, I'm picking on Fred because Fred loves me and he's nice. But I'm telling you, he's more like that than you think he is. Amen. And he just enjoys, he wants to live life with us and enjoy life with us. And he wants to be our provider. He likes to. If you was God, wouldn't you like to answer prayer? Amen. Man, that'd be, you know. Anyway. Well, he's going, I want you to. And really, in my opinion, Jesus is now. Okay, now, keep your place there in Luke 11. Go back to Mark 11 real quick. Because in my, just like there, he expounded on Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, how the heathen do with their much speaking. Really, this part here, Jesus is expounding on Mark 11:24. Believe you receive when you pray. Well, this is how you got to see God. If you don't see God like this, that He's eager to answer your prayer, He wants to answer your prayer, you're not going to have faith. So you got to see Him like this. He says, look, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if for a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? The answer is obviously no. No father would ever do that with his... Can you imagine Alan putting a scorpion in Harrison's hand? No. There is not a chance in this world. No father does that. So he says, if you then being evil, compared to God is all he means, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father... Isn't this interesting? Give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. Now, I used that verse for years, and it's okay to use it to help people get baptized in the Holy Ghost. You can use it that way. But the subject matter, as we have all learned through the laws of meditation, is not how to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. The subject matter is how to get your prayers answered. Isn't it interesting? He concludes his little teaching here with, oh yeah, and when he hears you, his answer is going to be, okay, well, here's the Holy Ghost. What? I wanted a bicycle. Well, here's the Holy Ghost. But it was a prayer of petition. I asked for a thing. Yes, I know. Here's the Holy Ghost. See, because the Holy Ghost is the manifestor. He is the molecule changer. He is the hand of God outstretched. He is the... How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Well, what did He anoint Him with? With the Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. I'd like to have my prayers answered. And the Father says, okay, here's the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah, see? And that's the one we're walking with. And for years I had glimpses, just little bitty glimpses, but I didn't really know much about the Holy Ghost's involvement with our prayer life until He began affecting me, like that example I gave this morning. One of the earliest ones was that time when basically, I was just thanking God for a certain amount of finances every month for the ministry. And He just told me to raise it by $4,000 a month. Now, that's the Holy Ghost, the counselor coming to help me with my petition. See, He knows your calling. He knows your family. You know, He's interested in your family, too. not just your calling. But let's just talk about calling for a minute. He knew what we're called to do. And he had spoken to Tim to let them use their resources when we were absolute fledglings to duplicate the tapes and that kind of thing. But the time came when it come time for us now to move it over in-house. Well, I wouldn't know how much anything like that would cost, nor would I know how to get the money in the first place. And he says, well, just raise your confession. I see right here, if I could really... I've done this before. If I could... I'm not going to do it, so don't, no sweat, no beads of sweat. But if I could really find out, now how much are you confessing every month for your finances? Boy, it gets so quiet every time I even approach that subject. It gets so quiet, you know. And what does he say? Ask. Ask. Father wants to be involved. Okay, anyway. Okay, I'll let you off the hook. But think about it. Think about it, okay? Think about it. And he just said that day, he just said to me, increase that amount by $4,000 a month. And he didn't tell me why. I didn't need to know why. I just needed to, I tell you, don't be asking him about step two till you obey step one. Amen. Step two will come. Just do what he tells you. You'll be fine. So I said, okay. You know, so I just X'd it out. And I forget what it was before, but I increased it by $4,000 a month, you know. And this is for the ministry. We also had a personal confession on our personal finances. I'm going to let you off the hook on that one too. So anyway, and we didn't send out, we didn't change anything. No appeal letters. I didn't tell anyone even about that except Sue, so she could be in agreement with me. And I found out what it was for. You know, very soon he started telling me, okay, now it's time to start bringing all of that duplication and mailing and all of that over in-house. And duh, how much did it cost, Gary? It turned out to be at that time about $4,000 extra a month. And sure enough, the finance, it didn't, he told me that in about mid-month, whatever month it was. And so the day I made that X and changed it by $4,000 a month, nothing really changed the rest of that month. I don't think anything really changed the month after that, but the month after that, you can just plot it on a graph. The average went up for that next year, roughly $4,000 a month. And that's just about what we needed. We had those tape duplicators. See, they're sitting there now in the office, and then the covers never come off of them. They're like they're museum pieces. But at the time, they were $2,500 a piece. You might as well have said $25 million to us. You know, we didn't know where our next tank of gas was coming from. And now we need $2,500 a piece, three of them, duplicators, you know. How did you get those, Brother Gary? Is your first finger still in Mark 11:24? That is exactly how we got them. And if you came to our office today, which is very frugal, we don't have elaborate things, but you would find several computers, you'd find printers, you'd find those duplicating machines, you would find all kinds of equipment and different things that we've had to purchase. How many, did you send out appeal letters? No, we did not. We made an appeal on each item. Father, I need, and a lot of it through the counsel of the Holy Ghost, we would make our petition. Item by item, they came. Well, I remember when we needed our first server. Well, it wasn't exactly a server. What do you call it? It's not a PC, and it's not a server. It's that one in the middle. Anyway, whatever that is. I've forgotten now. It's for a whole bunch of units in the office can run off one.
That's what it was.
Anyway. No. Anyway, what? It's just a. It's not exact. They don't call it. It's a step below a server. But anyway, we needed one. And I found out. You know, I did my research. I found out what was probably the best one to get. And we just asked the Father for it. And see, I believe I received the day I prayed. I never asked Him again. The way we did it and still do it. We put our petitions, I handwrite them. They're not fancy, but I handwrite them. I date them. I put them in this ring binder. That's really for me. That's the day I believe I received when I prayed. I don't ever ask Him again, but I do go through there day by day, and I thank Him that we have those things. And the thing either always comes directly or the money for the thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. Thanksgiving is more important for you than it is for him.
Oh, I know that.
But it's because it keeps the switch of faith on.
Okay.
What will happen if you don't do something, that's one reason I highly recommend that you write them down, put them in some kind of a notebook or a ring binder or a computer thing nowadays. But going through that, if you don't do something like that, what will happen is you'll just forget it over a period of time, especially if it's takes weeks or months for it to manifest. You'll just quit. And it's not that it turns the switch of faith off in you. See? Hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Your hoper, you'll just kind of lose that image. You'll be involved in something else. And you're just not using your faith anymore. It's not that he didn't answer it. You let it die. You let it die. You flip the switch off. So I like to do it in that ring binder method, or nowadays you might do it in Outlook or some kind of computer calendar or something, but you need to thank him every day for it. It's not, and again, see, we tend to think religious. Well, he'll only give it to me if I thank him enough. Is that how Cole gets his bicycle? See, you're thinking religious again. You're not thinking. Now, the thing of it, yes, sir. There is a little difference. See, that analogy is not perfect. Okay? Because to be honest with you, once I tell Cole that the bicycle's coming. He didn't have to thank me for it at all. There's something about this exchange between heaven and earth where faith is involved. That's why Jesus says all things are possible to him that believes. See, when it comes to manifesting things from what we call the realm of the spirit to the realm of the material, faith is involved. It is the medium of exchange. Here, most of the time, money is the medium of exchange. Papa's going to go to the store and I'm going to exchange money for that bicycle. But in the kingdom of God, faith is the medium of exchange. Okay? I'll know more about that next time you talk to me. But I'm just telling you, it is important, not so much because I'm waiting till they thank me. When they're thankful enough, no, that's religion. No, it's mainly to keep your faith on. It's mainly to thank him every day for it. I know you heard me when I prayed. I believed I received it when I prayed. I know that I have it, and you know, and you'll have it too. How often does it work? Every time. Either that or the universe will have to explode because Jesus lied about it. Now, there is one way that it won't work. For tonight, let's look at that. Go to James somewhere. Chapter 4. Hallelujah. So we'll just pick it up in verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and you war. Now notice, yet you have not because you ask not. Well, like I said, it's easy to fall into a pattern where you don't even make petitions anymore. You don't even really pray anymore. I was so embarrassed, to be honest with you, that I had to tell you. I don't know why he makes me tell you everything about that cell phone. But I had fallen out. I felt so condemned over stuff that you don't need to know about. And I said, Manny, how long has it been since I did a petitional prayer? And it had been a while. I'd fallen out. I used to go to God for paper clips. I used to go to God for a tank of gas. I used to believe God for a parking spot. And I'd fallen out of the... And I'd get them too. You know? So you got to remember this. You do not get from God what you deserve. You get from God what you believe. That is true now. You get from God what you believe. Amen? I used to believe for them, and boy, I'd get them too. It'd be amazing how they'd pull out. Right when I, just as I'm getting there. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And he and I were having a great time, and he was enjoying it as much as I was. Now he wants me using my faith for a little more than a parking spot. But he doesn't want me dropping out of the habit. I'll just use that word. That's a good one. Dropping out of the habit of even talking to him about my needs. Come on. What fun is there in it for him that way? He's just not involved at all. I think he took great delight in helping me find that cell phone. Amen. Yes, ma'am. She's, for benefit of the message, she's saying, well, she was kind of taught that you don't go to God for silly things like cell phones. Well, Father, we forgive whoever it was that taught her that right now in Jesus' name. Father, bless their ignorance anyhow. Father, really, forgive them. We forgive them, Father, and bless them and teach them the truth. You're a good Father. You care about... He says a sparrow can't fall to the ground without your Father knowing about it. Now, if He knows about that sparrow, you reckon He knows about your needs? You reckon He knew about that cell phone? I think it delighted Him no end to help me find that cell phone. I think He really enjoyed that. I think He's going to delight Him no end as we flow in the real gifts of the Spirit. And the eyes open, the blind eyes open, the lame walk, the deaf hear. I think He's going to really enjoy that. But anyway, it says here, you have not because you ask not, and you can sure fall out of the pattern of petitional prayer. But then here's the other side of the coin. Now, he says, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. And if you go on with this, to help you understand what he's talking about, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is the enemy with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And he goes on with that. Now what he's talking about there, be honest with you, is the kind of prayer request I get all the time. Brother Gary, will you pray that my lawsuit against my neighbor will be successful? That's all. That kind of thing is going on all the time, see? And that's the way the world does stuff. That's not the way we do stuff. Or he's talking about, you know, that one guy that says, my brother received this inheritance and he's not sharing it with me and I want you to, you know. Well, there should be equity, but that, he says, now the real problem there, he went right to the heart of it, beware of covetousness. See, the problem there was greed. It wasn't really... Now, I'll tell you right now, when it says, you have not because you ask not, or you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust, there's a maturing there. He's not so much talking about toys when you're young in the faith. It blessed him to give Sue and I that two-tone brown Beauville Chevy van that I talked about this morning. We were just young in the Lord. We didn't know hardly anything. It's like me buying... I love... Sue, it makes her day when she finds the toy at Walmart that Lily wants. We turned Ohio upside down looking for a broom for Lily. I'm wanting to get back. You know how guys are. We got to get on the road. We got to get back, you know. She's going, no, we haven't found the broom yet. There's a Toys R Us right over there. Oh, God. That turned out, thank God we did that, or we'd have been caught in that snowstorm in Missouri. See, I mean, God works everything together for good. But we did not leave till she found the broom. Had to be Lily's size. No, that one's too tall. No, that one. There it is. Now we can head back home. But we'd probably still be there. But, I mean, it gives her great joy to buy this little broom for Lily. I hope we're not doing that when she's 35. You know, we're wanting her to grow up, you know. We're wanting her to grow up, see. Well, God doesn't mind. There's a maturing. I mean, you know, start believing Him for a parking spot. Start somewhere. I remember Kenneth Copeland years ago. He said he cut his teeth on this kind of prayer for a pair of socks. He says, now I had money to go buy a pair of socks, but I wanted to see how this works. So he petitioned the Father for a particular kind of sock. I haven't heard that in 20-some-odd years, but at the time, he wanted it to be the calf socks and not the short socks or something, and it had to be blue or black, I forget. But he wanted that petition. I believe, I receive when I pray. And he confessed it in, and he says, you know, I got exactly what I asked for. And I went, I'm on to something here. Now, in the beginning, it might be socks, parking spots, what the Father says, okay, right now, it's toys. But see, as we mature, then it's going to be blind eyes that see. It's going to be the maimed being made whole. It's going to be your relatives getting saved. Amen. It's going to be all kinds of wonderful things. So don't beat yourself up. He has given me stuff that I'm almost embarrassed to tell you about because it was toys. Really, in a way, it was toys. But He did it anyhow. The cell phone. That little cell phone. The universe is not going to explode if I don't find a little sack of cell phones. But notice He cared. He helped me anyway. Helps me. Gives me courage about the next thing I'm going to ask for. See? So I want you to... I think what He's doing today, some of us that have walked in these things before, and maybe have kind of let it drop. We used to go to God for about a lot more things than we are now. I think He wants us to get back in the pattern of it. And then I think He wants us to keep on growing, maturing, and petition Him for a lot bigger things than we've ever done before. But the main point is, if you're going to have faith that you believe you receive when you pray, you can't believe don't be thinking He's that miserly guy on the other side of the door that is not even wanting to answer your prayer. He is your Father. Ask and you will receive. Knock and the door will be opened. Seek and you will find. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right. I think that's the message for tonight. I'm going to go ahead and share this with you. I was watching 60 Minutes. I'm telling the truth. Wasn't on a Radio Shack window. I had it on in my living room. Because it was a story about this lady who had been raped. She was absolutely certain she recognized the guy who did it in a lineup. Said, that's the guy. He wound up going to prison for 11 years. And he always said he didn't do it. And 11 years later, DNA evidence proved he did not do it. So he gets out, and of course she's just devastated. She couldn't believe it, as you can imagine. And so they're interviewing her, and she says, you don't understand, for 11 years, every day, and she's a churchgoer. They showed her church. Every day, though, I prayed that he would be raped in prison, that he would die. After he got out, she requested a meeting with him at that church with supervision, you know, people there. And she would just apologize. She's just going on. I just can't. If I said I'm sorry 1,000 times a day for the rest of my life, it would never tell you how sorry I am. She said, all he said to me, he just reached his hand out and he said, I forgive you. I forgive you. She said, when he said that, she said, we hear about that in church all of our lives. When he just said those words, I felt something change in my heart. And I began to heal from that moment. She said, the scriptures are so true. There is nothing more powerful than forgiveness. He had every right to hate me. And I had prayed against him. And I thought I was right. That wasn't on purpose. But still, I took away 11 years of the man's life. But he just said, I forgive you.